You can be seated. You can be seated. Well, I am thankful. I am thankful to be a Christian, to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I am also grateful to be an American. And I am so thankful for all of those brave men and women who have served our country, our veterans. I appreciate Ed Webb putting that presentation together each year. And it's interesting, when you've been around a while and you watch that, it brings back a lot of memories. I look at some of those pictures, and there's a few up there, that I never knew, but most of those folks at one time or another, I knew several of them. I officiated at their funerals. And then, of course, there are folks still with us who have served in our military. And just so thankful. I do believe we live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. We have our needs, we have our problems, but wonderful, wonderful country. But it wouldn't be that way without those who have been willing to serve in the military, willing to lay down their own lives for our freedom. And so it is fitting, it is right, I believe, to take a few minutes once a year to honor all of our veterans, and I'm so grateful for you. Those, I look out, I saw your picture up there, and Ron, you look a little different than you did up on the screen, a Buck, and I see others, but praise God for our country, praise God for those who have served us. So once again, thank you for all who served or have loved ones who were up there on the screen who have served our nation. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17, please. Exodus chapter 17. I was out with you last Sunday. Jeannie and I had the privilege of actually being in a service in Charlotte, North Carolina. Two of our granddaughters who live in Charlotte, Addie and Lily, were baptized last Sunday morning at Carmel Baptist Church in Matthews, North Carolina. And we were there, and in fact, we made a weekend out of it on Friday night, and there were, I think, 18 of us in the family, our kids, grandkids. My dad was there. I have a brother and his wife were able to join us. We had a picnic cookout last Friday evening. You know, we go Friday, everybody was together. It's rare for us to all be able to get together, and we just had a great time. Last Saturday, Jeannie and I made our rounds of soccer games. We went to grandkids' soccer games all day, and then on Sunday morning, the baptism, and we gathered for lunch afterwards, and it was a special time. And I know you were blessed last week. Appreciate Eddie filling in and preaching, and I'm glad for God's blessing here and God's blessing down in the Charlotte area. In the last few months, I've been preaching a series entitled His Name is Wonderful, about the names of our God in the Old Testament. And so far, we've examined Elohim, our strong creator, Yahweh, the great I Am, the one and only God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, Adonai, our ruler triumphant, El Shaddai, our all-sufficient God, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, and Jehovah Saba, our mighty warrior. Each name is special. Every one of these names is special. Each name is unique, and it addresses the character and attributes of our great God. And every one of these names reveals God's tender love and care for His children in distinct and unique ways. Today, we're going to look at the last name in the series, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But right now, if you would follow as I read from Exodus chapter 17, and we'll begin in verse 8. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it was so when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be gathered this morning here at Cross Lanes Bible Church. Lord, we've sung praise to your name. Lord, we've properly remembered and honored those who have paid the price and served our nation in the past, some who are still serving to this day. And Lord, we are so grateful for the blessings of God upon our country, upon our church, upon us as families and individuals. And Lord, we are so thankful that you use your wonderful, inspired, inerrant, powerful Word of God to speak to us and to change us from the inside out. And we're thankful for the opportunity we've had these many weeks to look at the various names of God. And Lord, as we leave this series after this morning, we pray that we would not forget the things that we've learned. Lord, when we need you, when we look to you, may we be reminded of what a great God you are and how you provide peace for us, and you're our shepherd, and you're the great I am. And Lord, you do so many wonderful things for us through your holy name. And so Lord, today as we open up your word, we pray that the Spirit of God would minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message today is Jehovah Nissi, our high banner. Our high banner. And we begin, as we have every week in this series, with the meaning of this name. What does this name mean? What makes this name different than many of the other names that we've studied of the Hebrew names for God in the Old Testament? Well, Jehovah Nissi means the Lord my banner. The Lord my banner. And there are two words in this one name, two names, if you will, in this one total name. And the first, as we've looked at many times through this series, is the word Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi, the Hebrew Yahweh. Yahweh, the great I am, the one and only God. It is a foundational name for many of the names we've looked at. Jehovah, the great I am. But then there's the word Nissi. Nissi, what does that mean? Jehovah Nissi. Well, literally, this name means to glisten. It means to glisten or to shine brightly. And from that, we get banner. Banner. What does a banner do? Well, there's a banner over here. There's a banner over here. Those banners serve a purpose. A banner is to capture your attention. We put these banners up in January so that every time you walk in this sanctuary, you'll be reminded of our theme for the year, running the race in 2023. It captures your attention. It's also something, a banner is something everybody can rally around. If you go to a political rally, you'll see the names of the candidates in bold letters up above the stage, saying that you are here for this rally, for this candidate, whoever it may be, Democrat, Republican. There's a banner there to call your attention and for everybody to rally around. You see, what a banner does, it glistens, it shines, it draws your eyes to it. And so that is what it means when it says Jehovah Nissi. We are to focus upon the one who shines. He is our banner over us. He is the one we rally around. We go forth to war. Onward, Christian soldiers. We go forth to war. We go forth to serve under the banner of our great God, Jehovah Nissi. That brings us then to the significance of this name. Jehovah Nissi, He is our banner held high. He is the one that we rally to. He is the one who captures our attention, Jehovah Nissi. But what's the significance of this name? And for that, we go to a story in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. And we begin, as we look at this story, with the enormous challenges of Moses. The enormous challenges of Moses. There are two challenges that Moses was facing in chapter 17. The first challenge is found in the first seven verses. We didn't read those a few moments ago, but I'm going to refer to those now. In the first seven verses, we find this: the people were complaining. Moses had a challenge before him. The people were complaining. You see, they were camped at a place called Rephidim, and their faith was being tested there. Look at verse 2. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why are you griping? Why are you complaining to me? Why do you contend with me? I can't control the water. Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" You see, their faith had already been tested several times up to this point since they had left Egypt. And every single time, God did something for them. Every single time, God provided for them, and you would think they would have learned by now. But guess what? They were just like we are today. The Lord will work and bless and take care of us, and yet we doubt Him. I know I do when I shouldn't. We do that at times. But their faith was being tested once again. There was no water. The people were thirsty. Their animals were dying. And instead of trusting the God who had provided for them in the past, they blamed the closest scapegoat, and that was their leader. They blamed Moses. And so, what a challenge for Moses. The people were complaining. Secondly, the enemy was engaging. The people complaining, the enemy engaging. Look at verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. The Amaleks were attacking Israel. The Amalek army was a strong and very vicious army. And guess what their goal was? Their one goal. The goal of the Amaleks was to totally destroy Israel. That was their goal, to totally wipe out off the face of the earth Israel. They wanted to totally destroy them. Folks, some things never seem to change, do they? Some things never change. What is the stated goal of Hamas today in 2013? What is the stated goal of Hezbollah? What is the stated goal of terrorist groups in the Middle East? They want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. That's why they do the things that they have done in recent days. And so my heart goes out to those in that area who are suffering the cost because of what these terrorist groups have done that are totally innocent. But just as in today, groups like Hamas and Hezbollah want to destroy Israel, back in that day there was a group called the Amaleks. And they were attacking Israel. They fought with Israel in Rephidim. And so there were two enormous challenges in front of Moses. The people were complaining and griping, and then they were at war. But then we find in the same passage the invigorating answers to prayer. Yes, it didn't look too good for Moses. It didn't look great for the children of Israel, but what did Moses do? He began to pray. Look at verse 4. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They're ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and also take in your hand your rod with which you should struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out, and that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. I have something with me today. And if you could be here right up close, you would see the intricacy of this staff, of this rod, of this cane. The master craftsman of this is Doug Lindsay. Doug Lindsay has been with the Lord now for about a month or so. And I know you miss him. I miss him. Jeannie, thank you so much for letting me borrow this morning. But even without his fingers, and many of you know he lost his fingers after his heart transplant, he continued to make beautiful, beautiful canes. I'm going to use this today to illustrate something. Moses cried out to God. And the first time he cried out to God, it was about the complaints of the people and the fact that there was no water. And so he cried out to God, and God instructed him to take a staff, to take a rod, and to strike the rock with the rod. Now, at other times, Moses was only to speak to the rock, remember, and instead he struck it, and God chastised him for that. But at this point, as we just read, he said, "Go with the rod in your hand, and go to the rock in Horeb, and strike the rock, and water will come out." And so he obeyed. And he went to that rock, and he took that staff, and he, and I'm not going to smack it, okay? But he, I don't want to break this thing, but he took it and smacked it down on the rock, and the Bible says water came forth. God answered Moses' prayer. He was in a pickle. The children of Israel were so upset with Moses that they were out in the wilderness with no water. They were rebelling. He was afraid they would stone him to death. But instead, God answered his prayer. He said, "Take the rod, take the staff, hit the rock, and water will come forth." And it did. Beautiful, cold, pure water for the children of Israel to drink of. And so the first answer to prayer was water from the rock so the children of Israel could drink of it. But then the second answer to prayer was victory in the battle. It says in verse 9, "And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose up some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." Victory in battle. God again told Moses, "Take that rod. Take that rod. Use that rod and hold it up. Hold up that rod. And as you are holding up that rod, I will give you victory. But don't let it down. Because when you let it down, the Amaleks will win." And here was the problem. Moses was human. He was a man just like we are. And his arms got heavy. I would say if I just held this up the whole time I preached today, after a while, you'd see it start to come down. Because it's hard to hold up a rod, keep your hands up in the air for a long, long time. But Moses did that. He held it up. And as he did what God said and he held it up, his arms were high. The children of Israel were winning the war, but his arms became heavy and it came down and down and down. And then they began to lose. So he had some people around him to help him, to know what to do. And so the first thing they did, they pulled up a rock. We would pull up a chair. They pulled up a rock. And I should have pulled a chair up here to demonstrate this, but I'll just sit down here. No, first he sat down. Can't see me anymore over here, I guess. He sat down, but he still didn't have his arms still grew weary. And so he sat down, but his arms came down, but then he had some people that came alongside him, and they were Aaron and Hur. And as he sat down, held up that rod, they were right there, one on one arm, one on the other arm, holding his arms up. And because his arms were held high, Israel prevailed, Israel won, and God's people were victorious. Folks, Moses and the children of Israel had some mighty challenges. And yet, in each situation, an answer to prayer, God gave victory. He gave victory in the battle. God answered Moses' prayer and helped him be victorious over the large, large challenges he was facing, over thirst, over drought, over the Amalekites and their powerful army, the invigorating answers to prayer. And folks, when we face dilemmas, when we face challenges and we don't know where to turn and we hit our knees and we cry out to God and then God answers that prayer, it should invigorate us. It should encourage our hearts. We should know in our heart of hearts that yes, God is real. And there's a God in heaven that cares about me. There's a God in heaven that even when it gets tough, as it did for Moses, will never leave me or forsake me. There's a God who is our banner held high. Jehovah Nissi. The invigorating answers to prayer. And then we see in verses 14 and 15, the eternal memorial to God. The eternal memorial to God, because every time God blesses us, every time God answers our prayers, every time He does the impossible, we should testify to His grace and His strength. We should testify to His greatness, His sovereignty, His grace in our lives. In verse 14, it says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called its name Jehovah Nissi." Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. God said, there are going to be people coming after you, Moses. People who are not here to see the power of God, to know of these answered prayers, you need to write it in a book as a memorial. And Moses did. He recorded how the Lord provided for and protected Israel because he wanted the generations to come to know of God's power and might, to know his God, to know Him. And so he built an altar. And that altar, I believe, served two purposes. The first, it was simply to worship God. Moses wanted to worship the Lord after the great victory that he had and after the provision of water from the rock. And so he wanted to worship God. And folks, when God blesses, our first reaction ought to be worship. Worship to God. And that's why it is not an option for the Christian to gather together on Sundays to worship God. It's not an option. And let me say, especially since COVID, it seems that a lot of people think they don't have to gather together anymore. There's different ways they can get their spiritual nourishment. And there are other ways. But the fact of the matter is that from the time that Jesus established His church over 2,000 years ago, it has been the obligation of every believer to gather, because we're stronger when we're united. We're stronger together than by ourselves. And Moses knew that, and we need to learn that. To gather. And so we gather to worship God. We gather to sing praise. We gather to testify to His grace and goodness. We gather to let the Word of God infiltrate, impact our lives and our hearts and our minds. And so He built an altar to worship God, but also it was a memorial that the generations to know could honor the same God that Moses did, to lift up His holy name. And what did He call the altar? Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. He was making a statement. And the statement was this: the banner that we were under when we got the water from the rock, the banner that we were under when I was holding my hands high toward heaven and the Amalekites were defeated, that banner that we fought under, that banner we live under, that banner we breathe under, is the banner of the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, and that name in this particular instance was Jehovah Nissi. He is our banner held high. He is the one who should draw our attention, should be drawn to. He is the one who should shine brightly, who should glisten in our lives. And He invited God's children to worship and praise the Lord under that banner, Jehovah Nissi. You see, my friends, whenever God blesses us in a special way, and listen, I know in a sin-cursed world, there are a lot of struggles. There are a lot of problems. But in a sin-cursed world, when God answers our prayers, when God blesses us, we need to talk about it. We need to write it down. We need to lift up a banner to the Lord, so it can be a testimony to those who will come behind us. The eternal memorial to God. That brings us now, after looking at that powerful story in God's Word, to number three: what this name means to us. How can we apply the truth we've learned today? Lesson number one: the battles of life are tiring. The battles of life are tiring. Admit it. You're just among friends, okay? Admit it. You grow weary at times. Do you just grow bone tired? And maybe it's not all physical. Maybe just emotionally you're drained, or mentally, or sometimes spiritually you think, where is God? I don't know where to turn. What happens? It happens as we go through this world. And it was the same way with Moses. Moses' heart grew heavy from the complaints of the people. His arm grew heavy from holding up that rod in battle. And folks, when we are engaged for Jesus, when we are engaged in ministry, we will also be engaged in spiritual warfare, and we will grow weary. We will grow tired in the battle from time to time. I mentioned last week, and last weekend was just a wonderful weekend, and we just had a blessed time, and I was so blessed and excited. And then, you know, you get back to real life, and all of a sudden, bam, there's always problems, there's always issues, there's always needs. But that's why we're here. That's why we're left on this earth as believers, to share the gospel, to preach the gospel to every creature, and to work with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to help, and to make decisions, and to have to deal with things that we don't always want to deal with. That's part of life, but that also tires us and wears us down. Pastors, missionaries, deacons, Sunday school teachers, parents striving to raise their children to the glory of God all understand this. That in everyday life, we grow weary at times. We grow tired physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And so, I don't need to say this, but I am. Understand, if you're tired today, and especially if you're on the front lines of ministry, you're a deacon, you're teaching a Sunday school class, you're involved in, if you're tired today, if you're weary, that's the way it is. Many times in our lives, because the battles of life are tiring. But lesson number two is this: we need help in the battle. We need help in the battle. Folks, there are times when every single one of us need people to come alongside and hold up our arms. People like Aaron and Hur. They weren't the center of attention. Moses was the center of attention. And Joshua was out on the battlefield. But Moses is standing there up on the hilltop and he's holding up that rod. He's holding up that rod and getting victory for Israel. But then came down, and then he had two faithful men who ran to his side and held it up. And folks, we need that at times. There are times all of us need people to come alongside and hold up our arms, and there are times all of us need to be arm holders, where we need to look around and see somebody who is weary, who is struggling, and go and hold their arms up. And folks, the very best place to do that, the very best place to have your arms held up or you to hold somebody else's up is in the local church. It's gathering together. See, God had a really wonderful plan. And that plan was to take individual believers, Christians, and bring them together to worship, to pray, to encourage, to evangelize, to be together, to keep each other accountable in the things of God. And we need help in the battle. We need people to pray for us, to encourage us, to hold up our arms. And then we need to hold up other people's arms. And let me say this, when you help hold up someone else's arms in spiritual battle, you are a direct vessel of Jehovah Nissi. When you see somebody struggling and you go up and you encourage them with your words, you hit your knees in prayer for them, you do something practical to help them, you are a vessel in the hands of our God to perhaps give them victory in an area where they would be defeated if it wasn't for your ministry to them. And so, folks, sometimes people say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I can serve. Every one of us can serve by holding up others' arms, by coming alongside and holding up arms and praying and encouraging one another. We need help in the battle. And then lesson number three, the Lord is our banner held high. The Lord is our banner held high. As Moses lifted up that rod, as Moses lifted up, he was really holding up the banner of his God. It could have had Jehovah Nissi across that rod because he was really holding high the banner of God. And that's how Israel was victorious. Folks, when we lift up on high the precious, precious name of Jesus, we're lifting our banner. Moses in the Old Testament lifted up the banner Jehovah Nissi. In the New Testament, as sinners saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we lift up what Philippians says is that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus was lifted high, wasn't he? Jesus was lifted high upon a cross, a cruel cross. And as he hung on that cross, he took the sins of the world on his own body on that tree. He took your sins and my sins on his body as he bled and died upon that cross as a sacrifice for sin and to draw all men to himself in salvation. And folks, we should spend our lives lifting up Jesus. Not lifting up ourselves, not how smart we are or how clever we are, but lifting up Jesus. He is our banner. The Lord Jesus is our banner held high. John 12:32 says, "If I am lifted up," speaking of Jesus, "if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me." Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." Jesus lifted up the power of God unto salvation. Folks, every single day of your life, today, tomorrow, the next day, lift up Jesus. May He be your banner held high. Lift Him up by your life, by your lips, wherever you go, whoever you meet. Lift Jesus up. Lift Him up. That doesn't mean you got to preach a message. You got to pull out your Bible and start. You know, no, just by your love for Jesus, your kindness, your graciousness, and when you have the opportunity to speak the love of Christ, the truth of the Bible, the gospel to them, lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was preparing this message, there were two songs that came into my mind. One we sang earlier. It's an old hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. We sung it earlier, but I don't know if it stood out to you the way it stood out to me as I was preparing and how it might now. Listen to these words of the first verse. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high His what? Royal banner. Lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Is there going to be a time when every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed? Is there going to be a time like that? You bet. Because someday Jesus is coming back and all the sin and pain and suffering of this old world will be gone. He will come as a conquering Lord, and we will be with Him for all eternity. And then another song that I came to mind is a newer song, May the Lord Find Us Faithful. And the song simply says this, May the Lord find us faithful, may His word be our banner held high. May the Lord find us faithful every day, though we live or we die. Folks, I am so thankful for Jehovah Nissi. I'm thankful for what this name represents of the character and person of our God and how it represents His care for us, His love for us. As we fight the battles of life, we can fight it under His banner, under His name. And so, beloved, may we devote our lives to raising up His wonderful name. Because as Philippians chapter 2 says of Jesus, His name is above every name. Every name. His name is above any name you can think of. It's above Trump. It's above Biden. It's above King Charles. It's above Taylor Swift. It might be hard to believe. But His name is above every name that's ever been uttered, that's ever been written in the history of the world, and will ever be pronounced. His name is above every name, and someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Beloved, the name of the Lord is our high banner. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Not just for Jehovah Nissi, but for all of these wonderful names that You have. And Lord, for many weeks now, several months now, on Sunday mornings, we've looked at your various names in the Hebrew Old Testament. And these names help us to know you more. They help us to know how much you care for us and love us and your character and your attributes. And Lord, today, as we leave this place, we want you to be our banner held high. We want to hold high the banner of the cross, hold high the name of Jesus, so that people will see it shine and glisten and want Christ. Father, use us this day. For those who don't know Christ, may they be drawn to the cross. As Jesus was high and lifted up on that cross, He will draw men to Himself. I pray that even now, here in the sanctuary, those watching who do not know Jesus, that Jesus high and lifted up would draw them to the gospel, would draw them to salvation, and they would be saved. Salvation is a miracle of your grace, and we're thankful we have the opportunity to be a part of that by sharing the gospel, by telling people about Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.